Welcome to another episode of The Road Less Traveled. I am your host, DB, and on today's episode, I lock my cat in my bedroom. No, I'm actually going to talk about some serious stuff, obviously, but if you do hear some annoying cat sounds in the background, it's just because she was trying to be super cuddly, and I can't have that. I got to record this episode. I got to keep consistent. I haven't missed one yet. I got really close last week. I worked 8 days in a row. I mean, it's the busy season for what I do, and I'm thankful for it. And it's much different because the last few episodes I've been talking about how I was firefighting in, while I was incarcerated. And I haven't gone into full detail with my coworkers or my current coworkers. And, I've disclosed to a few of them, like, hey, you know, I fought wildfires, et cetera, did it for 2 years. Most of them are surprised and they ask why I didn't continue on with that. And I give them the honest answer without giving them, you know, the full answer. And it's because it just takes a toll on you. Wildland firefighting, no surprise there. It's, you know, it takes a lot out of you. You're hiking for miles and miles on end. Excuse me there. Sorry, I just had a rock star too. It's got me all like hopped up, I guess. So it wears your body down. Like, I know my knees are a little more worn than I went in. My back hurts a little bit more. I feel crooked. And some of that's probably because the bed accommodations were absolute trash. I might as well have been sleeping on metal or concrete, which at times I was. Firefighting, it was a luxury sometimes to go out there. Like, sleeping in the dirt was way softer than the bed I had back at prison. So being in a sleeping bag was preferable, or just being literally in the straight dirt. Sometimes we slept on the fire line. We were supposed to be keeping eyes on, but, you know, you're so tired, you sleep in shifts. You have one guy stay up. A couple of you catch some Z's. Because sometimes then, we never had any line break. We always were thankfully, you know, actually on task. But yeah, it was such a weird experience that I couldn't see, like, even the crew bosses. Like, one dude, he was in his mid-40s or early 50s, but he also used, like, hiking crutches, I guess you would call them, or those little sticks, those walking sticks, hiking sticks. Yeah, he would use those too. Obviously, he'd have to use his tool to get in there sometimes, but he was a crew boss. He oversaw the operation and oversaw his crew, but so he had that support, whereas all of us had, you know, our fire packs on, our tools going on, and it's upwards of like 80 pounds sometimes. And then you're also, if you're, you know, cutting these trees up, like sometimes we did have to cut trees, and then we had to obviously move the rounds, the logs, into a pile. And we were working in such dense foliage at times, mostly in California. I fucking hate California. It was just the most atrocious forestry thing. They need to get their national forest under control, put some conservation efforts into it. Which I hate to say, like, wildfires are a natural thing. Wildfires are supposed to happen. It's weirdly us that's causing the problem. Like, we are constantly causing this cycle. Wildfires back in the day when, say, for example, lightning struck, just burned out of control. The deer and, you know, the woodland creatures or whoever, they didn't band together and get a bunch of water and cut line and just put it out. It just burned, which, you know, was good. Helped aerate the soil, would, refresh the nutrients, all the et cetera, whatever. Over time, forests would regrow. But now that's why California has such an out-of-control wildland fire thing. They decided to strip all their forestry resources and turn it into CAL FIRE, or put all their funding towards CAL FIRE to fight these fires. But without reducing your forests, you know, through conservation efforts, you're going to only get larger and larger fires. So it is what it is. Don't know if they'll fix that. Hopefully one day. But I'm getting like way off topic here again, as always. What was I even supposed to be talking about today? Did I have a topic? All I mentioned was my cat was trapped, and thankfully she's not making any noise, although I do have some coat hangers rattling behind me too, which is another problem. My dryer's broken. That's, you know, fun. It is what it is. But it's not a big frustration, because in prison, it was funny, we had pretty much no way to, like, do our laundry. When I was in actual prison, and also while I was in county jail, we didn't do our laundry. We didn't send our laundry in, excuse me. Sometimes in county jail we would, but it was like really hard to get like clean linen or stuff that even looked clean. So we would usually just hand wash it in the sink. If you got enough plastic, you could plug up the sink. Obviously you would scrub the sink as best you could. We had one sink that was supposed to be dedicated to laundry. There were four sinks, and we weren't even supposed to, like, we did have to shave in it when they did a razor call, which three times, sometimes two, depending on how the weeks fell and the days and whatnot, we would be allowed to shave. And so we would, you know, do our thing. We would be given only 5 minutes, and we would be given a single blade razor, and it was so fucking horrible. It was like scraping your face off, more or less with concrete. It was just like trying to use a pumice stone to shave with, and just like, there you go, there's your implement. And it hurt so bad, so I could only do sections of my face. Like, it would take me the full week to fully shave, because I was only given 5 minutes, and you weren't given a second longer. Like, if you would take any longer, like, and that's cleaning up and doing everything, by the way. And usually the COs would like slow play it, so they would eat into the free time. And that's what he was hoping to do, was if you went over your time, certain COs, this wasn't all of them, but there was a particular one who was so he was just a dick. He had nothing going on in his life. He was just a power hungry son of a bitch. So if you even went over a little bit, he would lock you down and wouldn't be allowed out for free time. You couldn't make phone calls to your family, et cetera, et cetera. And so I guess this is to explain, like, hey, no big deal. I've been in such dumb situations because of prison and jail and whatnot. So like, okay, great. My dryer's broken. Whatever. I got wet laundry hanging up all over the apartment, which is kind of fun. It's kind of old timey. I can tolerate that for like a week or two. It actually happened last year. Same apartment, same, not the same dryer, but they did buy the same dryer. And so I hope when we resolve this issue, it is with a better dryer, not the exact same brand. Oh my God, and hopefully not the first dryer just brought back, fixed. Anyway, also got a fraud call this morning. I keep getting the same fraud call. It's pretty annoying. That was something that happened during my incarceration. It was early on, like some guy who had basically a photographic memory saw my social security number marked in my paperwork somewhere, and he just, you know, called his friends and gave them my information. I've had to do several credit locks, years worth of disputes, and I'm finally like kind of getting it together, I guess you would say. Trying. Such a headache. Such a long. Somebody stole my COVID relief check, the second one or the first one, I can't remember. Whichever one was more money, they stole that one, which sucks. And I was, you know, that's all an aside, I guess, because at the time, I was at the halfway house, and somehow, somewhere, somebody that was incarcerated, not in my state, but they won a court case which entitled anyone who was incarcerated, they were allowed to file for the COVID stimulus checks, which I actually morally disagree with, because it's not like we were working. It's not like we went without. We were in the exact same predicament, just slightly worse because, you know, there was nothing we could do. That, I'm still going to get to those episodes. I mentioned that fucking months ago. I mentioned that like months ago that I was going to get to that episode, and I would still get there, but I'm kind of impressed. I'm up in the 20s of episodes. The momentum is still there. Thank you for continuing to listen. But yeah, so I disagree with the fact that we even got those stimulus checks. I didn't feel entitled to them, but I was also not going to miss out on that money because, like, the entire time I was incarcerated, I was looking forward. I was just constantly looking to the future. I can do this. I can do this. I can do this. And trying to lay that foundation. And I'm finally, like, here. I'm finally there. The hard work is finally paying off. And it's actually got me kind of scared. I've been slow playing some stuff. Like, I'm trying to get this book published that I handwrote while I was incarcerated, completely unrelated to my experiences and unrelated to this podcast. And I'm trying to, like, it's impossible to differentiate and keep those things separate. But that's what I've been trying to do this entire time is, like, that person is not who I am. It's just something that I've done. But it's not indicative of my character. It was an absolute mistake. Yet, I have to own that. Like, that is some. It is what it is. I did that. I cannot take that back. And I wish that I could. And so I will have to humbly accept whatever comes out of it. And so right now that I'm trying to publish this book, that's where I'm slow playing things. Like, I've been researching agents. I'm like right there. And all I have to do is start sending out these fucking letters, but I haven't. Like, I've had a couple days off and I'm like kind of dilly-dallying and doing whatever. And it's because I was raised by a single mom who instilled in me values and morals that even though it seems that I'm surrounded by a world that is just opposed to those things, like completely diametrically opposed, and that it caters to just, I don't know, like backstabbing and deceit and like dog eat dog and just this fucking ladder system where you have to just like crush your opponents and keep stepping over everybody, whatever. So it's just like, I want to constantly do the right thing. And that's where I am. Like, I can't in good faith reach out to somebody that will be representing me, that will basically be representing my work. And my work is not, again, necessarily who I am. Like, the book I wrote, there's some really harsh stuff in it. And there's characters in there that I completely disagree with. Like, the person that they are is pretty terrible. And the things that are said and done are all pretty terrible. However, I wrote those things because, excuse me, I wrote those things to show a certain light or a certain lifestyle or whatever. So, I don't know. I'm going to be up for judgment. And that's what's going to happen. Like, when I send out these letters to the agents, I am hoping, obviously, to get either an email or a text or a phone call, something, to where they say, "By George, we think you got it. We want you to send us the manuscript." And then they read that and it blows their socks off, guys. And then from there, they're like, "Holy God, we're ready to represent you." And then I will have to say right there, "Okay, hold on, everybody. Let's pump the brakes." And I was in the shower when I was thinking this. Let me see if I can remember this. It sounded really good at the time. Let me see if I can remember this. Okay. You know, I'm glad you have an interest in representing my work, but I do feel that I have a moral obligation to let you know about something that I am ashamed of in my past. And it's that I was involved in a drunk driving accident where I killed somebody. And I went to prison for over 5 years because of that. And during that time, that's when I hand wrote the manuscript that you have. And I just needed you to know that because you would be attaching your name to me. And I didn't want to mislead you in any way. Something to that effect. I thought that was good. But it was something, it was basically like I had to confront myself. I had to look at my place in the world and how I affect people and like that I do contribute. Like the things that I do affect people, the things that I do are real. The things that like I put out there can do both good and bad. So, you know, I've tried to live my life going forward with that frame of mind, I guess. Like, what is my place in the world? Like, I've taken away from this world. I've put harm and hurt out into this world. Like, a family is wrecked because of that. And it's so much more than that. And I've talked about that a whole bunch. So it's changed my perspective, and it's so hard to like hold on to that perspective too, because I know it's changed me internally, but I'm still trying to figure those things out. I got out on house arrest and I started typing up my stuff. I started sorting out through things. Like I started decompressing and unpacking, and I started at my cousin's house on house arrest, like freshly coming out from the halfway house. And I was like in just a tiny, tiny room that was even smaller, weirdly, than the halfway house's room that I was in. But I was, you know, trying to sort through things and unpack things, both emotionally and like literally, and figure out like what I still had. And it's taken a few years. We're in 2024 now, and I got out in 2021. Near the end of 2021, it was October. So, you know, don't really count that. Let's say 2022 to 2024. So it's taken about, you know, year and a half to 2 years now to kind of get to where I'm at, to figure out my stuff, to pay off my debts, to reestablish myself. And now that's where I'm at. And I'm, you know, having to make some emotional discoveries, and it is like I'm ashamed of what I've done, and I'm also very scared of the judgment. I don't know what's going to happen. Like I may have forever just completely obliterated any chance of me having a career, and I've had my moments where that thought has come up or that feeling's come up. And the first couple times were devastating. Like the first time that happened was, it was devastating. There's no other way to put that. I was absolutely in tears and just kind of had a breakdown thinking, and it, because it was like on top of the hurt and the tears, and like what made me break down was the thought and the feeling that I deserved it. That's what hurt the most, was like that knowledge, like you deserve this. Of course you don't deserve to have a career. Like who cares how smart or witty or whatever it is that you are or think that you are? Why should you deserve any sort of happiness or success? You don't. That was what that felt like. And that's kind of still what it feels like at times, which really sucks because it's like a defeatist mentality. It's really putting kind of, it's like a glass ceiling, but the glass is really fogged over. So it kind of looks solid to me. And I'm like, well, this is as far as I can go. And that's where I'm at right now. Like, I'm really trying to fucking push past this. And it's hard, man. Those are my knuckles, if you heard that. I'm kind of worked up. Like, because I'm working on it. Like, right now, I'm working through this. Like, this is just honest discovery. I want to say, like, I want to be unafraid and just do it, you know. But I'm terrified. I have to do it, and I will, because I'm basically there. I've gone through just dozens and dozens of pages of agents' names, and I'm collating more or less like the ones that I'm going to target and seek out first for representation, and I've honed and refined my query letter, and I believe like I've passed through my manuscript 4 damn times to edit. And I think it's, like, there. Like, I hope it's as far as I can take it. I hope it's in the best position to be basically sold. So, I'm there. I know I still have a year's worth of parole, but that's about the time frame. Like, they could pick it up and try to sell it, and then maybe I could be in a position to promote it. Who knows? So... because I'd be allowed to leave the state. I wouldn't have to get permission. So the timing of everything is really good. Or it's at least the best that it's been. But yeah, that's where I'm at, guys. Like, I want to act like, you know, I've been kind of talking about it and mumbling around it here and there. But the reality of it, the reason why I'm taking so long is because I am terrified of what that phone call is going to sound like. And I'm really, you know, I've had the feeling because I've gone up for jobs and jobs that I don't even want, which was the most hurtful stuff. Like, I'd show up for a job that I don't want and they'd say, cool, what about this felony thing? And then I'd bring it up and then I don't get the job. So, or I didn't have to list felony because job applications, you don't have to disclose it unless it's a particular kind of felony. But then during the interview, I'd bring it up because I don't want to, you know, lose my job after the background check. And then they don't hire me. So for something that I truly want, which this is something that I truly want, I want nothing more than to be well, I would like to be a well-sold author, obviously, not for money purposes, but because that means that a wide audience. I would like to be a well-received author. How's that sound? Or a widely received author? That would be cool, too. I don't need the money. I mean, the money would just be a resource to not work at where I currently work and do writing. I mean, that would be the dream goal. But, yeah. Like, the position I'm in is that I am professionally bonding myself to somebody who that my name just being attached to theirs could hurt their name. That's what the reality of it. And that sucks. I mean, I consider those things. And it's not like I'm recording these for those reasons, because, I mean, the two will probably never overlap. Like, this is, again, more or less for personal reasons. But it's just like, I don't have enough time to sit down with every single person and explain to them the depth of my remorse. Although I wish I could. That would probably be very helpful for me and possibly for them. I'm sure there's quite a few people that are regretful or remorseful of something. But this one's a pretty big one, guys. This one's a pretty big one. And I do accept, like, if that has just completely ruined all career opportunities for me. I feel kind of bad because, like, the girlfriend that I'm with, I love and adore her, and I want to succeed for, not just for her, but like for us, obviously, like for us as a family, as a couple. I would love to succeed because that means like our strength of our family. That means we can raise kids, we can have stability, we can like have things. Things don't equate to happiness, but it does provide, you know? So that's where I'm at. Like, I'm not doing this stuff for the money. I'm doing it to provide. And I would love to be able to provide, especially with something that I enjoy. I enjoy creating and I enjoy entertaining. And I do it every day at work when I make people laugh. And they, a majority of them, like, have no idea. The reason why I'm as funny as I am is because of the times that I had to hide my tears in the shower while I was in prison. Because to show weakness was to, well, it was just something you couldn't show. You would get taken advantage of. You'd be looked down upon. So, I think I'm as sharp as I am and as witty as I am is because I've had to be in situations where I had to stare killers in the eyes. I just stare at people that would smash my face in without a second thought. That would stab me to death because I crossed their path wrong or said the wrong thing. It's also why I got a weird, you know, perspective on things, perhaps. And some of it, I mean, a lot of it is good. A lot of it is positive ways of coping with things, but some of it isn't, you know, positive. And I have to catch myself while I'm in my relationship with my girlfriend, because I don't want to demean, that's not even a word. I don't want to demean her in any way, like, where I don't validate her feelings just because she hasn't been through something as insane as I have. Because everything's relative. Like, if you have something relative to you that you consider, you know, a really big thing, and then I subjectively consider it not as big, like, we could at least hopefully have that understanding. Like, I can say that your thing is, to you, it is very important, and I get that. I understand that. It is important. To you, it is important, and you are important to me, so that is an important thing. Like, I can get that. But you need to, in the reverse way, also have a little understanding in my towards me. Just like, okay, well, this is why you're not regarding it with as much attention as someone who, you know, hasn't gone to prison. Like, sometimes I just don't give it the proper attention because I was like, well, you know, that's not that big a deal. So I have to catch myself. I have to look upon the people around me and be like, okay, you guys are all important to me, so your stuff is important. But in the reverse way, be like, here's why I sometimes don't care. It's not intentional. So there's like some weird things that I've had to realize or discuss or talk out loud. And I believe this podcast has been super helpful. This whole episode is basically just going to be called Random Thoughts or Realizations, because that's more or less all it's been. But hopefully you guys have found that interesting. I sorry about the different auditory things, the little clicking, the clacking, the everything that's going on. In the background, I'll try to have next week's episode a little smoother. Hopefully my dryer's fixed by then. It is going to have some scratchy clothes going on this week, guys. A little scratchy. But it's been fun living on the Oregon Trail again, so thank you. Hopefully you tune in next week to another episode of The Road Less Traveled, and I'll see you then, guys. Take care.